In John, the 17th chapter, it's a very important prayer that Jesus is talking to the Father right before he's about to suffer a lot of things and die. And he's reflecting on a lot of things with God. And he says this very important verse. See it here in John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Today we're going to ask the question, do you know God or do you just know about God? Okay. One summer night in Scotland, a young man decided to take a shortcut through the moors on his way to town. The countryside was known for its limestone quarries. There were many of them around, but this young man knew his way around, and he was very confident that he wouldn't have any problem getting through to town. Sky was very dark that night. There was no moon, and the stars were not out as he sat across the heather to walk his way. And as he walked through the inky darkness, suddenly he heard a voice call out his name with great urgency. He said, "Peter." Unnerved, he stopped and he called back and he said, "Yes, who is it? What do you want?" But there was no answer. So he took a few more steps when he heard the voice again. It sounded more urgent than before. "Peter!" He stopped in his tracks and he stumbled to his knees. He bent forward to look into the darkness and he reached out to the ground in front of him, and lo and behold, there was nothing there. He was on the very edge of a deep, deep quarry. Out there on a desolate moor, Peter Marshall knew that somebody cared about him, and he dedicated his life to the one that he was convinced had called his name. And you might know the name Peter Marshall. He went on to be a great, great minister here in the United States. Now, an experience like that is a powerful testimony to the truth that should apply to your life and to mine, that this God that we talk about and this God that we study about and the God we say we worship, well, he is so real that he can call your name on a dark and dangerous night. Now, we talk about discovering God, but discovering God is not like digging up dinosaur bones and fossils, okay? It's not something that's just very objective and we say, well, these animals lived a long time ago and we think they did this or we did that. Oh, isn't that interesting? No, discovering God is not like that at all. It is a process. It takes a lot of work. But it should bring us to the level of not just objectivity, but subjectivity, that we are reacting to someone who didn't just live a long time ago, but he's living with you and in you and for you today. There's a difference between knowing God and just knowing about God. And if I suspect that if you were given a series of questions about God, you might get a high grade, 98% probably. Yeah, God is like this, God is like that. God does these kind of things, does those kind of things. And if you scored well on that kind of test, would that mean that you know God? No, it just might be a measure that you know about God. If you believe the polls, they consistently say throughout the years that 90-some percent plus percent of Americans believe there is a God. Would you say that 90-plus percent of Americans believe God, live for God, relate to God, obey God? And I think we would probably suggest a much lower percentage there. Say, no, there's a difference between the two. The book of James has a very interesting thought. It says, you know, you believe that God is one and you do well, but even the demons believe that and they tremble. Now that's interesting. In other words, even demons can believe in God and realize that he is awesome, that he is powerful, but it doesn't affect the way that demons act. They still act like demons, apparently. But even then, they know how powerful God is, and they tremble in fear at that. And many of us don't even bother to do that, to tremble before God. The demons take God more seriously than we do sometimes. So right before he's about to leave his friends and face his cross, Jesus is praying this very important prayer, and he's talking about eternal life. And he says, you know, Lord, this is eternal life. What? Keeping the rules? The Apostle Paul just told us from the book of Romans, no, it's not about keeping the rules. Not at all. Is it just living forever? Is it just going to heaven when you die? Is that eternal life? A lot of things we could nominate, but Jesus says, no, this is eternal life, to know God. Oh, and when can that start? When you die? No, for you it probably started a long time ago, and it's still going on today. And if you have that, if you know God, you have eternal life. When Earlene Jesse was the leader of our WMU here in Virginia, she was attending a ministry conference at Virginia Beach, and she mentioned a study that was done on why people leave a church. And one of the main reasons was, no one is showing me how to know God. No one is showing me how to know God. And I would think that would be a shame if we don't know or realize or understand that we have Bible study, that we have worship, that we have prayer together, that we sing together, that we have messages to listen to, that we have mission activities to engage in. Why? That we might know God, and that God might know us and be at work in our lives, and that we might know him better. If that's not the reason why we get together as church each time, then we're getting together for the wrong reasons. To know God. And that's why we talk about Jesus so much, because the better we know Jesus, the better we know God. We're not interested in our denominationalism. We're not interested in our brand identity. We're not interested in defending certain theories about God. Oh, this is true or that's true. Well, it may be, but it doesn't matter a hill of beans if it doesn't lead us to know him personally. And if I know God, I want to introduce him to as many people as I possibly can. You know, what is it about an introduction? Suppose we're at a gathering somewhere, and I want you to meet Bill, and I introduce you to Bill and say, this is Bill. Bill, this is so-and-so. What next? You can walk away if you want to, right? Or you can stand and chit-chat with Bill and just be real superficial and polite about it. Or you can really talk to Bill and get to know him better. What do you do? Oh, what kind of family do you have? Oh, your work? Tell me about your work. You could really get to know him. That's what I would hope would happen for people about Jesus Christ. I don't want to just say, well, I want you to know about Jesus. I really would like for you to know Jesus. But look, you got to carry on the conversation for yourself. Yeah, you can walk away. Yeah, you can say, well, isn't that nice? Nice to meet you, Jesus. Bye. But I want you to have this conversation with the Lord and get to know him too. Remember in Revelation, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I'm going to open the door and what? I will come in to him, and we'll have fellowship together, we'll eat together, and we'll get to know each other. That's what he said in Revelation 3:20. I mean, what better way to get to know somebody than to sit down and have a meal with them, share lunch or dinner together, have good conversation? That's a wonderful thing to do. That's how intimately God wants to know you and experience you, and that's how much we ought to want to know and experience the Lord Jesus. There's a difference between knowing God and just knowing about God. And there's a difference between knowing God and just living by his laws and keeping his rules. Now, the Hebrew people gave to us, and we can never thank them enough for all the things like the Ten Commandments and all the things that were given to us out of the experience of Israel and what happened to them in their wilderness wanderings and all their long history. But that can only take us so far. Then we need the New Testament. Then we need the good news for God telling us that legalism, keeping the rules will only get us so far, but it won't save us. You need my boy. You need my son. And I'm going to give him to you fully and completely. Listen to him. Know him. Obey him. Follow him. And we'll be connected. And you'll follow me. We're saved by grace, not by being good enough so you can go to heaven rules. It's just not that at all. But Jesus died, he rose again, and we can live with him forever. The German writer Hermann Wauk wrote a book he called Inside Outside. And it tells the story of David Goodkind, a Jewish son of Russian immigrants. And David's family was thoroughly Orthodox in their Judaism. They did not eat pork. His mother never served meat and milk at the same meal. Everything was kosher. For example, drinking Coca-Cola was a big deal. Why? Well, there's nothing wrong with the drink Coca-Cola itself, but the pious few in Judaism pointed out that the glue in the corks of Coca-Cola bottles could have come from horses. Therefore, your Coke might contain the trace of a kosher animal. One day, a rabbi from Russia was visiting in David's home, and he watched David's mother preparing food, and he advised her to use different utensils for cooking meat and warming the soup that was made from milk. Didn't want to mix the two at all. So David's mother just went ahead and used another pot. There was another rabbi who came along, and he was even more reverent or careful about these things. He told her it was dangerous to dry the two pots with the same cloth. So she went out and got some two new dish towels. A few years later, David goes off to study the Talmud at an academy. And all these laws, all these rules from his childhood are just dragged along with him, had a strange hold on his life, so that he didn't feel really free to love and to know God. To him, God was this legalistic tyrant, not a loving father. And troubled by all this, David asked, "Will God strike me dead if I use the wrong towel? What's the point?" Can you resonate with David? Can you feel like a lot of things just don't matter? Just don't matter at all. But, you know, Orthodox Jews aren't the only ones who fall into this kind of legalism. There's a lot of Christian traditions that will do the same thing. Oh, my, you believe that? Well, if you believe that, well, then you're definitely not saved, or you're going to hell, or however they put it. It's what you believe is so very, very important. And yet it didn't seem to be too important to Jesus when he said, you know, this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus, who you sent. He didn't talk about knowing about God. He talked about knowing God. Just because you belong to a church doesn't mean you know God. We can love the church. We can be active in the church, devote many hours of activity to church events and causes, but we can still be desperately in need of a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus and his friends had been together for a long time, hadn't they? Coming to the end of the ministry, and one night around the campfire there, they were in Caesarea Philippi, and he says, hey, who do people say that I am? You know, who do folks say I am? He was really asking the question, what do people say about me? Okay? And they heard a bunch of answers. And then he said, okay, now who do you say that I am? Do you just know about me? Or do you know me? And Peter came up with a great answer. Oh, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And he was on the right track, and he was knowing Jesus and who he was and what he was all about. He still didn't have it right. We knew that. He got as far as he could. But Jesus was once again pointing out, don't just know about me. Know me. Something about God and Jesus Christ is always outside of our grasp. There's always something more to know. You're always working on this. And I hope you don't think you know God fully, completely today. Because if you do think that, you're complacent. And then God really can't do a whole lot with you at all. You can't just come to church and live off the experiences of other people and sit back and say, oh, that's nice. Or, yeah, I believe that up here. You got to roll up your sleeves. You got to get in the game. You got to get down in the mud with the work of living for Jesus. Paul kept writing to people who thought that they knew God because they were in church and they knew certain things. Read the Corinthian letters. And that's what he was dealing with. Jeremiah pointed out the same thing to people in his day and time. And he says, like Lee read for us at the beginning of the service, a day is coming when I won't have to write the law on books or on tablets or on the Torah. The documents, I'll have the word written on their hearts. And boy, that'll make me happy. Then they'll really know me. And then they'll be really living the way that I want them to live. For they shall all know me. You know, perhaps you grew up hearing stories about your Uncle Freddy. You know, Uncle Freddy lived way off in California, and you'd never met Uncle Freddy, but you heard stories about Uncle Freddy all the time. Uncle Freddy said this. Uncle Freddy did that. Oh boy, Uncle Freddy. But you never really knew Uncle Freddy until many years later, and you met him. And then perhaps you discovered the man that everybody told you was so funny. Well, you thought he was just goofy, right? Or the man that you assumed was so clever wasn't really witty at all. Or maybe it was when you met Uncle Freddy, you said, oh man, I heard all those stories, but now I know this guy is really great. I love Uncle Freddy because I've met him for myself. Makes all the difference in the world. There may be a movie star or a pro athlete that you think very highly of, that you think you know very, very well. You just love, and you suppose that you adore George Clooney, or just think the world of Beyonce Knowles. You know, got one guy for the ladies and one gal for the men. All right, you think they're super people, and you would just love to have them as a friend. But everything you know about George Clooney and everything you know about Beyonce Knowles is through the media and the television and the stories and the internet and those kind of things. Do you really know George Clooney? Do you really know Beyonce Knowles? You might meet them someday. You might really get to know them and think, what a dork. And you know, when she doesn't have her makeup on, she looks kind of homely, you know? I doubt it, but I think you haven't met him. You don't know. Our Lord Jesus doesn't want to just be known about. He's knocking on the door of whose heart? Everybody's heart. He's knocking on your heart and saying, can I come in? I really want to get to know you. I really want to relate to you. I want you to know me. I want us to have fellowship together. Come on, let's sit down and eat together. I want that so very, very bad. What answer are you giving Jesus? Have you invited him in? Have you asked him to take a seat? Are you getting to know him? Do you just know about him? Or do you know him? Let's talk to him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what Jesus was talking to you about such a long time ago. Thank you for hitting the nail right on the head and telling us what's really important. Father, we want to know you and know you better. Perhaps you're at work in our lives in ways we don't get right now. We're scratching our heads and saying, what? But Lord, you're an amazing God, and you can do amazing things even in rough circumstances. So Father, please help us to pay attention, keep our ears open, keep our minds and hearts open, but most of all, Lord, help us just to trust you. We want to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.